Romans 6 said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul emphatically said, no, that is not the gospel. That is not what's supposed to be happening here. So we realize that when we were in sin, when we were sinners, we were enslaved to sin. But the Bible talks about a new slavery after you repented and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is coming at you now. Good morning and welcome to God's Resistance. We are glad that you've tuned in with us here this morning. We're continuing looking in Romans chapter 6 here, and we are going to go through the second half of it. We talked about how that continuing in sin that grace may abound is a terrible thought, although that's taught very prevalently in our day. It's wrong. It's a phrase called antinomianism, against the law, against the laws of God and the law of the gospel. And we realize Paul didn't believe that at all. So neither should we. We should live in truth and in holiness and in righteousness empowered by Jesus Christ. So we're going to be looking here at Romans chapter 6. By the way, if you haven't looked at that, then look for the previous video before this that goes over the first half of Romans chapter 6. And you can go back, or if you're just listening, you can go back into a podcast. You can go to godsresistance.com, and that'll link you up to all the different podcast places you can go to and find the one that starts with Romans 6:1. By the way, you can find all the previous ones through the book of Romans there as well. Well, enough of that. Let's get moving on here. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to the end, and we are going to expound these. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Why? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're going to go back up to there to verse 12. Notice here that what he says is, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, this again, right in the early church in the first century, there was the group called the Gnostics coming in, trying to say that they had the special knowledge that though they were sinning outwardly, they were pure in their spirit, because this body is inherently evil because it's material. And because it's inherently evil, I cannot help but sin in thought, word, and deed. But because I have the special gnosis, God knows that my spirit is pure and I can continue to live this way and yet be on my way to heaven. Sounds like the same kind of teaching that we see in this present day. Gnosticism that is going on today, but with different clothes on. So we realize, however, Paul even flies in the face of this as he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That's this flesh and bones, this meat, this container of our soul that we find. He's saying, don't let sin reign in that, which leads us to believe that you and I aren't to be sinning. And he said, why? That you should obey it in the lusts thereof. We shouldn't be obeying sin in the lusts thereof. Notice also that it says sin here is not necessarily just one sin, you know, the sin of, I don't know, drunkenness or something, the sin of sexual immorality. He's not talking about just one specific sin. He's talking about sin as a package and sin as a reigning and a ruling influence. And as we move on into Romans chapter 7, we'll read there how he talks about the sin that dwells in him. Here is where he starts talking about it right here in Romans chapter 6. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? If we go to the verse previous to this, he said, let's go back here. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So if he says, let not sin therefore. Therefore is because he said, you've already reckoned yourself dead indeed unto sin, so don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Sounds wholly and entirely different than the excuses that we hear in our present day evangelicalism that says that I sin, but I already gave my life to Jesus. So the only thing that changed is my knowledge because my life is still the same. That's dangerous and that's Gnosticism revived. But let's move on to verse 13. He said, neither yield ye your members, so that's our hands, our feet, our eyes, our thoughts, our hearts, you know, the members of our body. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So first he was talking about that principle of sin. Sin is an entire package in verse 12. And now he's saying, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. And then he's saying, don't let sins take place because of your instruments of this mortal body. That meaning being your thoughts, your heart, your hands, your feet, you know, any way that we could sin with this mortal body. He said, don't yield your members to that because we are not dead in trespasses and sins anymore if we've been saved. We are alive from the dead and your members are now to be used as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's normal Christianity, by the way. A lot of people say, well, I just continue to sin and there's no way out of it. I would say either what happened is you are not abiding in God. You're not staying close enough to him to be able to have that maintained victory in him, or you've never really been saved to begin with. And those are hard words to hear, but it is the truth because this is normal Christianity as we are reading. But then he says in verse 14, why shouldn't you, why shouldn't you allow your members to be used as instruments of unrighteousness? Because you're alive from the dead and your members are now to be used as instruments of righteousness unto God. For this reason, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In this present day, people say, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. So don't preach to me the law. Don't speak to me the law. You know, I can't help it. I'm in this body and I'm not perfect. That's not the tone that Paul is using right here. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, because the law was powerless. What could the law do against your sin except remind you that you have sinned against the Almighty God? That's the only power the law had, is to convict of sin. And he says, you are not under the law, but you're under grace. So the what Paul is bringing up is that the power of grace lifts one up out of the hole of sin, out of the bondage of sin, and empowers them to live righteously with these members of our body, of this mortal flesh. We actually live righteously instead of just some kind of theological fiction where we say that we're righteous in Christ, but there's no discernible change in us. That's not what we find inside the scripture. He said, you are not under the dominion of sin because you are not under the law anymore, but you're under grace. Grace is the power of God that gives us victory over sin. Grace is not just unmerited favor, though it is unmerited favor. It is God's power so that you and I live righteous. Okay, well, if that's the case, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Okay, so if you didn't believe my exposition of that verse just before that, he says it very point blank here, verse 15. Okay, if that's the case and we're not under the law, but under grace, and we sin won't have dominion over us, he says, then what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? And Paul says, God forbid. That should be so clear to us. We should realize he says, God forbid. So if I'm thinking that grace is license to sin, I've got something messed up in my mind, because Paul makes it very clear that grace is not a license to sin whatsoever, but grace is the power of God to overcome sin. That is a huge difference. And he says, so God forbid, that is not how we should live. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So simply put, if you are living in a way where you are not yielding to the desires of sin in your life, to any sin whatsoever, he said, then you are yielding obedience to God unto righteousness. But if you are yielding to those sins, you are yielding your obedience to sin, to the devil, and the way of that end is death. So there's no middle ground. It's not like, well, I got my ticket punched and I'm a Christian now, so when I sin, it's different than the guy out here that sins. It's no different. Sin leads to death. That's very plain as to what he's saying right here, but he says, you choose. Whichever way you yield yourself, that's your master. That's who you're a slave to. It's either to sin or to righteousness. So there's no middle ground. And the way that we tell whether we've yielded to sin or righteousness is by what we're actually doing with this mortal body, with this mortal flesh. So if I am actually sinning and people can see that and God can see that, then I'm sinning and I'm a slave of sin. But if I have victory over sin and I'm yielding obedience to God through faith, and then he said, then you are actually righteous. And 1 John goes through that entire thing. I've got previous videos you can look at about 1 John, which it goes through the same kind of idea. But then we move on to, but let's see here, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Wonderful, right? He says, but God be thanked. You know, you have the ultimatum, yield yourself to sin and go to death, yield yourself of obedience unto righteousness. But he says, but listen to this, God be thanked. You were, notice past tense, you were the servant of sin, but you're not the servant of sin any longer. If you've repented of your sins and put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you've been lifted up, you've been raised to new life. You were the servant of sin, but you are not the servant of sin any bit longer. You have obeyed, as it says here, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, sometimes people will get this all mixed up and they'll say, well, isn't this just works righteousness? No, it's not. Because he's saying, if you have obeyed from the heart, this is obedience that has faith as its foundation. It's not obedience in order to acquire something from God. It's because I believe I am obeying. I love Jesus. This is what I'm doing with my life. And I'm obeying him because I believe his words, and his words are affecting me. And this is why I'm obeying him. And he said, you believe from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. So you're not a servant of sin anymore. And you know, dear listener, if you are not obeying from the heart that doctrine of the gospel, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you won't know this liberty. You will still be a servant of sin. But he's saying, if you really have been born again, you are no servant of sin anymore. You have been freed. So verse 18, and here it is. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Notice it says being. It's past tense. It's not like maybe someday we'll be freed from it. He's saying the moment that you are born again, you have been freed from sin. The chains have been broken. Sin is not your master anymore. Sin does not have dominion over you. Then being then made free from sin, that's a reality that's happened already. You've become the servants of righteousness. So if you're still the servant of sin, you have not been made free from sin. And if you've not been made free from sin, you have not been born again. And I know a lot of people will be quite angry about this, but I would challenge anyone looking through this to come up with another answer as to what's going on here in the book of Romans, and really applying all different New Testament passages where people would so vehemently defend that you and I are somehow supposed to believe that we just have the special knowledge in our head that Jesus died for our sins, so now we're not going to hell even though we're still sinning. He gives us a freedom in holiness and in righteousness through the power of God. Let's move to verse 19 here. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So in other words, the same way that you unreservedly yielded yourself to a life of wickedness and sin, now that you've been made free from sin, use that same vehemence, that same abandon, but do it to righteousness now. That's how we're to live as Christian people. Verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Notice it's past tense, when you were, when you were, when you were. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Notice he doesn't say the end of those things is death so long as you didn't accept Jesus. The end of sin is death, full stop, all across the board. Whether you have been saved or not been saved, that's a fact. That's what he's saying right here. What fruit did you have in those things? Nothing but death. But now, being made free from sin, notice that it is a present fact. being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness instead of unto death, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. And that's the case all the time. The wages of sin is always death, no matter where sin finds itself. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life begins now in this life. When we fully surrender to Jesus Christ and we give him our hearts, then we find that eternal life begins right here, right now. We're not waiting for deliverance from sin to happen later in life when we pass from this world, but he who can be made free from sin today, and Lord bless you.